Cat Mayo Hour.
Welcome to the Pat Mayo Hour, Fight Night Vancouver. That's right, right?
Yeah.
Fight Night Vancouver, UFC Vancouver, DraftKings Picks and Preview. Cody Saftix here. What's happening?
It's always hard when it's a Fight Night card because this is not actually a Fight Night card. It's an on Fox card, so they don't group it properly. So you don't really get the Fight Night Condit Maya. Instead, you get UFC Vancouver, which is what is that implying? I don't know, but glad to be here, Pat.
People from you're telling me like people from outside of Vancouver are now being called like hometown guys.
It always happens. It says like let's say it was UFC in Toronto and you're from North Bay
or Halifax.
They'd be like, oh, you're from Toronto. You're like, no, not really. In this case, it's like, oh, UFC Vancouver, and we got a lot of Vancouver fighters. You know, some of them from Surrey and Kelowna. Surrey and Kelowna is not Vancouver. In fact, these guys are traveling quite some distance. However, not nearly the distance that some of their opponents are training. So in that regard, they will get some type of hometown advantage.
Are you doing some sort of like Canadian team stack here?
Here's the thing, right? Last time in Ottawa, I was like, you know what? I love Canadian fighters. Don't get me wrong. But it wasn't exactly the most favorable matchups. And then I'm watching the card and the judges are like, well, that was a pretty close fight that the Canadian won. You're like, wow, home cooking galore. So it's going to be a different commission. But you get the sense that in close fights when – and I noticed the exact same thing at the Olympics. In the Olympic boxing, if you had your contingent of fans there, then your people are cheering. Then it doesn't matter if you block three – if you get hit three times and you hit him twice and he blocks one of them, they're going to cheer for you. And that just kind of persuades the judges – ever so slightly. So there's some close fights here that I think will probably go in the Canadians' favor. But as I say that, anything can happen.
When I looked at the odds of this and even the DraftKings pricing, the one thing that stuck out to me as opposed to last week was there's a lot of close fights.
Oh, yeah.
So are some of these fights like, I mean, I look at the main event, minus 120 to even money. Like that's coin flip.
Yeah.
There's coin flips all the way down the card. Is there one fight to you that sticks out right away that maybe it's listed as a coin flip, but you think it's very distinct one way that might be a very quick knockout?
It's not necessarily that it's, you know, so to speak, a close fight. But I think when you're getting under 2-1 on Anthony Pettis, I think you have to bank on that all day.
Anthony the Pettis file?
I don't know about all that. I would say...
I think that's the best nickname I've come up with yet.
If Anthony Pettis was to hear that, he would run off this wall and kick you in the head, probably just render you unconscious. In fact, I would probably then have to visit you at the hospital.
Do you think it'd be the first time that Pat Mayo's been knocked out? Not a chance.
Fair enough. But
by a UFC fighter? Yes.
But it might be the first time that Pat Mayo wakes up in a hospital bed 35 pounds lighter from having been fed through a tube for the past month and a half.
That sounds like a pretty good diet. I'm not going to lie to you. Football season's coming up. I got to drop some weight.
You got to drop some weight. You got to fit in last season's
clothes. Yeah,
yes, exactly.
Or I have to go buy new clothes.
Exactly. So it's not that it's close, but honestly, I think Anthony Pettis is the guy. There's another guy by the name of DiCirico. I know I'm probably butchering that name myself, so I'm probably going to get the buzz.
You're going to get the buzz?
Well, he's Italian, so like I don't know. Like you'd probably have a better shot at this.
Where is he on the sheet?
Yeah, that's a director A-Rap's little question.
DiCirico!
Yeah. So,
Chirico.
I think it's DiCirico.
DiCirico.
He's got another shot.
You're not doing it with your hands. I like this.
This is the only way you can physically do it. Listen, he's got a shot for a finish as well, but for $11,000, I just think he's way too overvalued. When I look at Anthony Pettis, I'm going to be able to save $600. Yeah, absolutely, all day.
There are a few of these fights where the odds and the DraftKings prices don't match up, so I'm getting favorites, and we saw this last week, too. In the two, I mean, was it Vitelli who was the guy last week that was the favorite? Ended up winning, like, one of the first fights.
Oh, Marvin Vettori. And his opponent was 10-6. I couldn't figure that one
out. Yeah, he was the guy, but he was a heavy favorite on the betting line and a huge underdog on DraftKings. Just take that guy, and he cleaned up. He wasn't like the other guy who screwed us out of all the money.
Yeah, Hungi Lim.
Kim, who did like the Bart Simpson, like this move at you.
Yeah, well, he was like, listen, if you get in the way of my punches, it's your fault.
I was a fucking ogre.
I'll tell you what, and I feel bad saying it because we did the show on the Monday, and as you know, I had switched off Mike Perry last
week. I didn't know that until after.
I know. Well, I messaged you and Paul. Right before, I was like, my Doubtmaster picks, looking good. I ended up going 11 for 12 on that card. And the main thing was that he literally just flopped his hands around in all of his fights. But he's usually big and strong enough to get the win. In this case, Perry was like, I'm just whack. But Perry got in a lot of hot water after that because apparently this video surfaced of like, it was like edited, not edited out, but they were during commercial break. But it was like the raw footage, right? And Perry's sitting there and then his corner man's like, I go lose this guy. He can't even open his eyes.
Oh.
And, yeah, I know. And then, right? And Perry doesn't say it. He's not the one that says it. It's just one of his corner men, right? So I was like, what a, like, you go out, you get a debut, you're probably going to get 50 Gs, and then it's like...
And then you had some idiot in the background.
Yeah,
in your
yeah, like that almost just, like, he had to probably, like, do an apology. Like, he didn't say anything, you know? I did feel for him there, but...
Yeah, but he has to take onus for his team.
Yeah, take onus for your
team.
He's
picking the guys on his team.
Yeah, that's
They're representing
exactly.
him.
And you know what? When you're coming from Winter Springs, Florida...
Who knows? Yeah,
yeah, I don't know.
So, Shane Campbell... -125 on the betting line, $8,800 on DraftKings. Who's right there? The betting line or DraftKings?
Yeah, the betting line's right for sure.
So $8,800 is a guy you need to have on your team.
Yeah, listen, Shane Campbell's live by the sword, die by the takedown, right? Like, if he's going to win a fight, he's going to win it standing up and beating on you. If he's going to lose a fight, you're going to take him down. Other than the John McDessie fight, I get it. Whatever. Short notice, he got hit. Most of these guys are just taking him down and controlling him. Eric Koch, I mean, he actually is having some decent success
against
Koch.
Eric too coked.
Yeah, like, took 2 years off.
Get too coked?
Well, he went to rehab, but it wasn't for his nose. Oh. It was, you know, for other injuries that he's sustained over the course of his career. Shane Campbell's a guy that probably shouldn't even be in the UFC right now. He's 1-3 in his UFC career. He probably should be cut. He's a good Muay Thai fighter who's never really been able to translate those skills into MMA. But now, the UFC's coming to Vancouver. And Shane Campbell, I think he lives in Kelowna, so 3 hours
away from Vancouver.
So he's from Vancouver, so let's put this guy on the card. So he's on the card, and not only that, Pat, they're bringing in this Felipe Silva guy. And
undefeated.
Undefeated, 7-0, right? He's got 7-0, and he's got, I think, 9-0 in pro Muay Thai. So if you look at his record, he's got 16 pro fights. Shane Campbell has got, combined with his Muay Thai fights and his MMA fights, something like 97 pro fights, right? He's so experienced. Problem is, he's almost all experienced in stand-up striking. So when he goes into MMA, these guys don't really want to stand with him. They just take him down. And it's rather easy to take him down. So that's just like the common path.
But where he's fighting a Muay Thai guy, that it might be better for him?
This Felipe Silva would be smart to, you know, switch the script, so to speak. However, he physically has the word Muay Thai tattooed to his chest. So he's committed at this point, right? And I think being that you're undefeated, you've never tasted, how can you tell someone who's knocked out pretty much everyone he's fought?
And has never lost to change up your style because you might lose with your style. Yeah.
Right, right. So he's going to travel all the way from Brazil to get here. It's going to tax him. It's going to drain him.
Well, it's not like he's flying in the night before.
No, but
you show up a bit early, I would think.
I just think that you're throwing off your system, right? You go to a new place. Now all of a sudden...
but aren't they... prepared for this? Isn't that what fighters do? It's not like they fight in the same spot every single time. Yeah, unless you're McGregor, who just fights in Las Vegas every time.
Well, when you're some Brazilian from a favela, you've probably fought most of your fights in Brazil, which he has. He's fought one time outside of Brazil in his entire career. It was in Finland. He got flew in, and he ended up beating the hometown Finnish guy.
Now, that's a way longer flight to go to Finland.
The guy from Finland is also a UFC veteran who couldn't cut it in the show. Now, that being said, Shane Campbell is on the verge of not being able to cut it in the show. But I think he gets back on track here. $8,800, love it. Problem is, I don't like it on a cash game team, even though it is good value. Shane Campbell tends to just give up fights. Even though he's a skilled guy, even though he can get the win, even though he's usually a better striker, he usually has better cardio, his takedown defense is ever improving, he never really ties it all together very well. So for that reason, that's why the line is close, because skill-wise, Shane Campbell should be able to overmatch this guy. And as far as the DraftKings price goes, $8,800, that's pretty crazy. Felipe Silva, like, I'm not even going to lie, I saved so much money on my team. I was looking at the top 4 or 5 guys, and I didn't agree with that at all. He was one of the guys in that top 4 or 5.
So who are we actually taking on our team?
Okay, so as you can probably notice from, I don't know, looking at the sheet over here.
I didn't even realize I had a sheet here.
My cash game team and my GPP team are nearly identical. And here's the problem when I was putting this team together, right? When I look at cash game team, the first thing I go through, I don't even really care about prices. I look at it and I say, okay, who are 5 guys that are safe, that are going to win? I'm very confident they're going to get the win.
Well,
you can get 5 guys.
Let's get to the team right now.
Okay.
We're going to try to do the abbreviated versions of these shows. This is how we're going to do it. You give me the team. We'll figure it out.
Okay. Anthony Pettis, $10,400. Listen, he's the former champion of the world at 155 pounds.
He's going to come and knock me out.
Absolutely.
So you want to, I mean, even if you get him at like 10-6 versus me, I think you're doing pretty well with that pick.
If he ends up being the Pettis file, you better watch for that white van following you home, Pat, because you're a dead man walking. Anyways, Anthony Pettis, $10,400. As I mentioned, he's fighting the best guys at 55 and coming up short. Now that he's at 45, he should definitely have enough to run through Charles Oliveira. I think he's more skilled from him. Pretty much more skilled all over the place, other than that absolutely tenacious submission grappling offense that Charles Oliveira has. I don't think it'll factor in. I think he gets finished in the first or second, and that's what we're looking for, baby. First and second round finishes. So hook me up for Anthony Pettis. Sam Alvey, 10,200. Sam Alvey's got the ability and the potential to go out there and get the first round knockout. However, Sam Alvey is not going to do that. He's finished, I think, three or four of his UFC opponents in the first round, but that's almost like a case of, I don't want to say fluke, but they're like running into the punches. He's so very lackadaisical. Against Kevin Casey, Kevin Casey should not be in the UFC. Should not be in the UFC. However, he was married to Muhammad Ali's daughter, and so that kind of gave him a little bit of...
Tatiana Ali?
The one that nobody ever talks about. Did you know Muhammad Ali, off topic, has a son, Muhammad Ali Jr., who's homeless living in New York? Anyways, besides the
point.
Did
not know that.
Exactly. Hasn't seen his dad in like 30 years.
Well, you can't see him now. He's dead.
I know. Way to bring that up. I don't want to be the one that brings it up now, but since Pat's bringing it up, this guy robbed a draw in his last fight. He should have lost the fight. He ended up settling for a draw. It was like the same night Muhammad Ali passed away, and they wanted to get him a post-fight interview. So even though he lost, they just ruled it a draw, man. Honestly, I know that sounds really like greasy of me to say that, but like he lost the fight, and they wanted him to get a post-fight interview, and he got it. Fight before that, he got poked in the eye. Fight before that, he got knocked out. This guy is just literally clinging on to dear life for his UFC contract. I think Sam Alvey puts him away. Problem is, Kevin Casey's usually not dangerous, but he's an able-bodied fighter for the first 5 minutes, right? This fight will go out of 5 minutes. Then Sam Alvey's going to start chewing him out in the second. In the third round, I think Kevin Casey will be, you know, a lot more limber. And then Sam Alvey's coaches will probably slap him in the face and say, listen, dude, you gave him the first round. You won the second. Just knock him out in the third. And I think Sam Alvey will oblige.
You're taking Condit?
10,200. Yeah, Carlos Condit. I got five rounds to work with, and I think he only needs four, right?
Okay.
I think for the first couple
rounds.
Yeah. And I think it's going to be very similar to the Joanne and Jacek fight against Claudia Gadelha the last time out, only if finish materializes. The first two rounds, Demian Maia might take this guy down and hold him down. He might take him down. He might control him. If you're looking after first two rounds and you're thinking, geez, Carlos Condit has not scored very many points. He might have 15, 20 points out of the first two rounds. Just know that he can easily throw 50, 100 significant strikes in a round, and he'll land a lot of them, and he'll put the pressure on, and he'll get finishes. He went five rounds with George St. Pierre. He dropped him in the fourth round. He went five rounds with Robbie Lawler, and he fought really hard the entire way through. He went five rounds with Nick Diaz. So he's got 3 5-round performances, you know, banked under his belt. On top of that, he knocked out Martin Kamen in the fourth round. On top of that, he just has a complete laundry list of victims that he's putting away standing. And I just think if it was a 3-round fight, Maia has a very good shot here. In a 5-round fight, I do not see his path to victory. So I think he chews him up. $10,000, I'm definitely willing to pay that. Extra 2 rounds on top of that, love it. Although, I would obviously want a second or third round knockout.
Yeah,
I would want a first round knockout.
But he's only 10 grand. Like, he's the average salary. So if you can get average prices from him, you're good to go.
And this is where the lineup gets kind of crazy, and I'll be the first one to admit it. I like Kyle Bochniak, right? $9,300.
All
right,
and he is a minus 165 favorite in this fight.
Minus 165 favorite. He took his UFC debut on 4 days' notice, and he gave a pretty good account of himself against Charles Rosa. He's big, he's strong, he's physical. He trains out of Peter Welsh's boxing gym in Massachusetts. You know that his boxing is good. He usually just throws the right hand. It's right hand power. But against lesser guys, he'll get away with that. His takedown defense, I didn't know what to expect. But against Charles Rosa got him down one time in 8 attempts. And it wasn't a great attempt. This guy's strong, he's durable, and he's a total gamer. 29 years old, he's a little bit old. However, the average age for top 15 fighters in the UFC is 30 years old. So he's basically hitting his stride right now. And he's not taking the fight on 4 days' notice. So against Enrique Barzola, he's going to have to keep the fight standing. Barzola's a one-trick pony. You know he wants that fight on the ground. And he will attempt to get the fight on the ground. I just don't see him materializing. And I think Bochniak's fairly safe, especially at $9,300. However, this is where my cash game team is not how it normally is. I got Ryan Jaynes on there. And I think Ryan Jaynes is going to win, don't get me wrong. But Ryan Jaynes is by no means a lock. However, other than Bochniak, Carlos Condit, Sam Alvey, and Anthony Pettis, there's only one other lock, really. And it's that DiCirico guy, who I cannot afford. So I got to take someone on a cash game team who definitely has a shot of losing. And the problem with Ryan Jaynes is if he loses, on paper, he'll get knocked down the first round. Only because his opponent, Adam Hunter, is 7-1, and he's knocked out 7 opponents, including 6 in the first round.
Okay.
So that's just his path to victory. But I'm going Ryan Jaynes, because Ryan Jaynes is a black belt. He's a guy that's gone 3 rounds. He's a guy that's fought in the 4th round. He's fought in championship-quality fights. And, as I mentioned, he's a black belt from Vancouver. Adam Hunter is coming from New Brunswick, right?
Ugh.
He's a...
That's all you need to tell me.
Exactly.
As someone from the east coast of Canada, I can tell you all about New Brunswick. It's the Manitoba of the east.
He might have himself a, what, an alpine or
something. Oh, yeah. He's cracking alpines all day.
Exactly. Now, if Donnie Dumphy is to make the trek over and corner
Donnie Duffy's from Newfoundland.
I just group it all together,
though. It's not the same thing.
Don't tell that to Reed. Reed takes real offense to that.
What?
Just grouping the East Coast together.
Yeah, well, there's a difference between the Maritime provinces and the Atlantic provinces. I don't want to give everyone a Canadian geography lesson.
Speaking of that, I said Happy Canada Day to Reed, and he was like, oh, I'm from PEI. And I was like, or Newfoundland. I was like, what? That's in Canada. And he's like, not until 1952.
1949, actually.
Right. Okay, so I was like, this is ridiculous, man. I thought George St. Pierre was the only separatist I knew, but apparently there's some out in the East Coast.
Is he going to fight here in Toronto?
Yes.
For sure?
Not for sure, but very likely.
Is he going to be in the studio? Are we going to have, like, remember the first year I worked here, we had the Fight Network and Friends, like, party?
Oh, yeah.
Because UFC was in Toronto. Are we going to have that again?
I would say yes, but as you realize, we moved all the cubicles out.
That's fine. We can move all that stuff back around.
Yeah, who knows? Listen, I'd be all in on it. It was a great time.
Can we get Phil Davis back up again? I hung out with Phil Davis for, like, 10 minutes. He ate all my chicken wings.
He ate everybody's chicken wings.
He was just bowing chicken wings.
This is not a racist comment, by the way. Phil Davis ate the place dry, man.
And he was like, man. He knows I had like 5 of them left, and there was none left. He's like, can I have some of your chicken wings? I'm like, yeah, man, go ahead.
Are you going to say no to Phil Davis? No, listen.
He was a big dude.
Oh, yeah. Listen, I'd rather take the Anthony Pettis one, because if you fight Phil Davis, you will wake up comfortably in your bed the next morning being like, man, that guy laid on top of me hard for 15 minutes. So I like Phil Davis. I really do.
Let me tell you a little bit about Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans, which proudly supports the Pat Mayo Hour. Rocket Mortgage brings the mortgage approval process into the 21st century. Fast, powerful, and completely online, Rocket Mortgage has taken all the complicated, time-consuming parts of applying for a mortgage out of the equation. Hate searching through stacks of old files or paperwork? With Rocket Mortgage, you can easily share your bank statements and pay stubs at the touch of a button, helping you get approved in minutes for a custom mortgage solution that's been tailored to your unique financial situation. And even better, with Rocket Mortgage, you can do all this on your phone or tablet. It's a quick online process you can manage from the convenience of your couch. So, if you're looking to refinance your mortgage or buy a home, check out Rocket Mortgage today at quickenloans.com/mayo. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states and MLSconsumerAccess.org number 3030. Now, back to the show.
He's
a nice guy.
Very nice guy. Listen, Anthony Pettis to me, very safe and a very good shot at getting the finish. Sam Alvey to me, very safe and very strong ability to get that finish.
Are we on the GPP team now?
We're basically going right through the same team.
So it's like the same team.
Carlos Condit, I think is pretty safe, has a great chance to finish. Now with Ryan James, oh yeah, that's how we got off topic. New Brunswick. One guy's a black belt.
One guy's from New Brunswick.
One guy's from New Brunswick.
That's all you need to know.
He's a two-stripe white belt who spent a lot of time in the Army, so it's not like he's a combat sports, like, lifetime athlete. It's not like he comes from a background or anything. And you ever heard of a game called Warhammer?
No.
Okay, we'll leave it at that. Anyways, moving on to my GPP team. I got basically the same guys. I really like Pettis. I really do. I really like Alvey. I really do. I really like Condit. As I mentioned, I'd take DiChirico, but for $11,000, it's just too thick
expensive
for my blood. Ryan James, and then finally on GPP, we're going to take Shane Campbell.
Okay.
Because listen, Shane Campbell's got a move. He's got two moves, okay? The one move is the toe stab. This thing is nasty, Pat. Imagine someone's toe being stabbed into your gut. Doesn't sound like much.
It's like the Joker in Dark Knight.
It's the most...
He does the toe stab with the knife.
But basically, only you would think, oh, well, you can't bring a knife into the octagon. Shane Campbell's toe.
He's a vet.
Is a blade, right? He gets you right in the gut, you crumple. And listen, this is not, I seen him do it one time. I seen him do it a bunch of times, okay? This is nasty. And the thing with Muay Thai fighters is because they stand straight up, it allows him to boot them with the toe stab. Second thing is, you ever heard of a Hadouken?
From like Street Fighter?
Yeah. Okay.
Hadouken!
Yeah, okay. He knows how to throw a Hadouken.
Yeah,
right?
But can he do the Liu Kang bicycle kick? Because if he could.
I have not seen it yet. However, it was a World Series of Fighting fight. Right? Shane Campbell. Hit him with the toe stab. And when the guy hit down to his knees going like, oh, because all your like bowel movements are about to let go, man. You're done. As he was lying on the ground like, oh, he got hit with a Hadouken. And then the poor son of a bitch tried to get back up. Derek Boyle, tough dude, by the way, tried to get back up. And Shane Campbell absolutely wrecked his day. So I really like Shane Campbell for $8,800. He knows he needs the win here. The thing is that he might try to play it a little bit safe because he knows he needs the win here.
And
so
he knows
that's not great.
He's Canadian, right?
He's Canadian.
And, you know, if he gets it to decision, he'll probably win.
However, he's now living in Vancouver. He used to come
from Vancouver.
He used to come from Stony Creek. Stony Creek, pretty much Hamilton. He doesn't want to lose. Go back out to Hamilton. That's not something he wants to do.
He likes losing, going back to New Brunswick.
Oof, which is probably the more likely scenario here for Adam Hunter. So, last thing on Ryan James, he's 35. He's making his UFC debut. I don't like that. But this is the optimal situation to be making your debut against this quality of guy.
Cody Saftick, check him out on Twitter at CJ Saftick, and check out the entire Bookie Beatdown on the Fight Network, or follow that on Twitter at Bookie_Beatdown. I'd stay in here longer, but Pollock's like giving me the eyes here. He has to be in here in like 5 minutes.
Oof.
And I don't need John Pollock mad at me, trust me.
No, it'd be like having...
he's a silent killer. I got Anthony Pettis coming at me.
Phil Davis.
Phil Davis and John Pollock. They're just going to beat the shit out of me.
That white van parked out there has lots of space. Who knows how many people are waiting for
you. That's basically the new A-team, by the way.
You're dead, man. Just like that time that guy on Twitter said he was going to find you and kill you.
Exactly. He never did. What a loser. Couldn't even kill me. Pat Mayo, you can send threatening things to me at the PME on Twitter. And remember to subscribe to the Pat Mayo Hour on YouTube and iTunes and wherever. Anyway, FantasyJocks.com. You get Belcher winning fantasy football championships. I had to mention that. Pat Mayo, see you next time.